this week on Terp Weekly Edition. Burglaries in the South Campus Commons shake the University of Maryland students. A new 24-hour shop opens in the Denton community, and Nutrition Month hits campus.
This is Terp Weekly Edition, a student-produced weekly radio news magazine from the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland College Park. Terp Weekly Edition is presented in cooperation with 88.1 FM, WMUC Radio.
I'm Emily Jacobs. Do you feel safe in your dorm room? Brian Hoffman has more.
Crime in College Park comes as no surprise to Maryland students. But when outsiders find their way into on-campus residence halls, is there reason to be concerned? A recent burglary in two South Campus Commons buildings has raised questions about the safety of the housing we live in. Two men unaffiliated with the university have been arrested and charged after allegedly entering two first-floor apartments through open or unlocked windows. According to police, in the first incident, residents' belongings disappeared during an overnight fire drill. Later that morning, the second theft took place when another resident was not home. Some students are less than pleased with the safety measures inside their Commons building.
You can literally just use your swipe to get into the locks of Commons. I know for a fact Commons 5 and Commons 6, the locks are just so flimsy, and all you need is a credit card or a swipe, and you just slide it down through the lock and you're in 30 seconds.
And why is it so hard to keep out unauthorized guests?
There's always people coming in and out, and it's really hard to tell someone, hey, I can't let you in if you're coming inside the building. So the whole idea of tailgating, if someone's behind me, it's really hard for me to not keep the door open for them.
What I've noticed is residents are so nonchalant about letting people in, and you know, no one even looks twice as to see who's behind them. So people just hold the door open. So, I mean, you can get in a snap.
But what can be done?
The CAs have a good idea of who comes in and out of the building, but a bunch of the buildings don't have CAs. So for those buildings, I mean, there's really no one watching them.
So should there be a community assistant inside every single building? One CA I spoke to, who wished to remain anonymous, says she can spot a face that does not belong.
Especially if you're like, you work like the same shift or whatever, you see the same people coming in and out of the building, so you know who lives here and who doesn't. And usually the people who don't live here are the ones who are just kind of waiting there, like lingering around. And and you can usually tell if they're like they'll be like, oh, my friend's coming down to swipe me up or whatever. Like, because I know CAs kind of give them like a questionable look.
Meanwhile, students should feel better knowing that the criminals in this case are no longer on the street. But look around and be aware of your surroundings, because it could happen again. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Brian Hoffman.
Police say security cameras were the key to finding the two burglars. For more information on police activity at the University of Maryland, log on to umpd.umd.edu. Commons apartments are only supposed to be open to students 24/7, but a new building on campus will open its doors to anyone at any time. There's construction everywhere surrounding the Denton community with the addition of Oakland Hall and a new diner. But the first step of the process is ready and open for business. Jason Murphy has the story.
It's 11:50 p.m. and that hunger pang hits you deep in the gut. You tie up your sneaks and throw on a coat so you don't get hypothermia on the way to the diner. You run down the stairs, out the door, and it's full speed ahead to make it before the turnstiles lock up. Almost there, reach for the door. Shafted. It's locked. Another hungry night is going to make that study sesh that much harder. But wait, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Sunday, Dining Services opened a new 24-hour convenience store in the Denton community. The 24 Shop is a smaller version of the infamous North Campus Snackin' Shop, or as it's commonly known to students, the InCon, for its inconvenient schedule. But the 24-hour nature of the 24 Shop makes it a much welcomed addition to North Campus.
It seems like it would be a pretty convenient place for students in the Denton community to go to if they need to get something quick. I'm sure it's not going to be as big as the diner or the InCon, but I think it would be a great place for kids to stop to get something to eat quick.
Students need, might need supplies in the middle of the night, and there's no way to get them since the InCon is closed and the diner is usually closed. I think it's actually a good advantage for the Denton community. It's not that far of a walk, but it just will be more convenient to go to their own convenience store than to the other ones.
From a hot grill to a freezer filled with goodies, the 24 Shop offers a solid variety of snacks to aid that all-nighter you're pulling thanks to that chem test tomorrow. But because of its smaller size, the 24 Shop cannot carry everything, and school supplies and health and beauty products are noticeably smaller sections than in the Incon. Some students, like junior Elizabeth He, couldn't find just what they were looking for.
It's good that it like has snacks for like late night studying and stuff, but it needs like more than that. I went there to get like medicine because I have like a cold right now because I just got back from Miami, and it doesn't have that, for one.
Although not every desired item is present, Dining Services Assistant Director Bart Hipple said in the Diamondback Tuesday that the products and services offered at each shop on campus are geared towards the wants and needs of the specific community. For the Denton community, Hipple said the idea is that most students want to stock their rooms. Therefore, the portion sizes offered at the 24 shop are similar to those you might find in a grocery store. But don't fret. Hipple added that one of the main functions of the 24 shop is that, quote, spur-of-the-moment shopping, more in tune with that late-night study sesh. So the next time you wake up with your head in your textbook and realize the sprint to the diner just isn't in your immediate future, just calmly hop over to the Denton community and grab a bag of chips and a soda from the 24-hour convenience store. For Terp Weekly Edition, I'm Jason Murphy.
The 24 shop will be joined in 251 North by a new dining hall set to open in the fall to help diminish the frequent lines at the diner in the Ellicott community. The month of March was National Nutrition Month. Kristen Foca found out what was going on campus to promote the cause.
Have your cake and health too. That was the theme of the seminar I attended this Wednesday, the third of a series of seminars for National Nutrition Month.
So the way we're going to start is we're going to go through a couple of our classic favorites and have you guys guess some of the nutritional values.
How many calories are in a double cheeseburger? How much sodium? How much fat? Why does it matter? What's a healthier option? This is the information the University Health Center, STAMP Student Union, and Campus Wellness Coalition were trying to relay to students for the past month. Wednesday's presentation in particular tried to enforce that students can eat foods they love and crave, just keep it in moderation, and try the healthier option if it's available.
3,500 calories is 1 pound. So if you got into the habit of having your carrot cake every night of the week, that could have some effect that you would start noticing after a little bit.
Speaker Catherine Schrader, a dietetics major, sported her National Nutrition Month shirt that had a painter's palette with different foods representing different colors. She told me what this image represented in relation to eating a balanced diet.
The new dietary guidelines came out, and the big thing actually with this shirt is the new thing is to eat color. So we've been trying to get some new ideas that people have about vegetables. It's not just green. There's lots of different colors of the rainbow, and to try and choose from each different color. So that's kind of the tagline, I guess, of the whole theme of Nutrition Month this year.
In the last 3 years, obesity rates have reached greater than 25% in 33 states. Nutrition is a topic that needs to be addressed. Trendy diets and weight loss plans are constantly in the media, but the goal of the health organizations on campus was to promote nutrition in a helpful and accurate way.
Sometimes it seems like nutrition is sort of a trendy topic. It's something that this weight loss, that weight loss, try the grapefruit diet. Like it's just something that people are always striving for and never really attaining. So nutrition and diet and weight loss especially seem to be very popular subjects these days. Yeah. And there's a lot of misguided information out there. I mean, I guess that's part of why we're around, why we're doing what we're doing, and hopefully one day becoming dietitians so that we can get the right information to people, because it is a big deal, and I'm really happy that it's more of a national initiative now rather than just a personal thing.
So let's hope students have learned to make healthy decisions, but still get to enjoy that cake. From the ERC, I'm Kristen Foca, Terp Weekly Edition.
To find out how to manage your own healthy diet, visit the Center for Health and Well-Being in the Epley Recreation Center. I like cold every day. I like cold every day. I like cold every day. Cause I'm kind of thirsty. Stick it in the face. Stick it in the face. If you like something cold and shake, man, stick it in the face. Still to come on Terp Weekly Edition, students are finding new ways to stay fit, and a bowling league shows off their skills at the STAMP Student Union. Emily Jacobs. Going to the gym and staying fit can be hard for students at the University of Maryland, especially when we're loaded down with exams and projects. So how do we stay active? I spoke with students who are stepping off the treadmill and stepping onto the dance floor by going to one of the many fitness classes at the Epley Recreation Center. Junior kinesiology major Ariella Pohl is busy. With 2 lab sciences and 16 credits, Pohl used to find it hard to make time to stay in shape and go to the gym. All that changed when Pohl began going to the fitness classes at the Epley Recreation Center. According to Pohl, the variety of the classes and their assigned times helped her fit working out into her busy schedule.
It's not just like going on the treadmill and running or like going to do weights. You're getting a really good workout, but you're also like having a good time. You're being with people. So it's a lot easier. And there are set times for classes, so you actually like have to go to these classes and like not just put off going to the gym.
Pohl, who tries to go to a fitness class at least 4 times a week, says the classes have allowed her to learn how to work out and hang out with her friends at the same time.
I usually have a hard time going to the gym by myself and trying to find things to do. I don't really know what exactly I need to do at the gym, so going to the classes is really good, and also it's a good way to go with your friends and have a good time.
Mira Khan, a senior double major in French and kinesiology, is one of the fitness instructors at the ERC. Khan makes sure that participants like Pohl stay motivated throughout the classes and ensures that they are having fun as well.
I just keep talking and tell them they're doing a great job, and I try and play good music, so usually they're into it.
While Khan teaches popular classes such as Zumba and step aerobics, she explained that there are a variety of classes at the ERC for everyone and every fitness level.
Well, it's really awesome because if you're a full-time student, you have access to the gym, which means that you can come to fitness classes for free. You just have to sign a waiver. So I think that's really great, and people should definitely take advantage of it because we have a really great program. There's classes every day of the week of all types. You can do cardio, you can do strength, you can do yoga.
Pohl echoed Khan's praises for the fitness classes and had some advice for students interested in checking them out.
Even if you don't think that you might like it because you've never done anything like that before, or even if you don't work out that much, just try it out. Most likely there will be a class that fits your interest and that will be the kind of workout that you're looking for.
For more information on the group fitness classes or to see the schedule, visit www.crs.umd.edu.
The jam, pump it up while your feet are stumping, and the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more, get the party going on the dance floor. See, cause that's where the party's at, and you find out if you do that. Oh, a place to stay. Get your booty on the floor tonight.
When was the last time you threw down a strike? Members of the Terp Zone Bowling League try to do just that every time they step up to the lane. Devin Miller visited the alley to check out the competition.
What do an electrical engineering major, a first-year master of landscape architecture, and a broadcast journalism major have in common? They all set aside 2 hours a week to lace up a pair of bowling shoes and hit the lanes. Terp Zone hosts a bowling league every Tuesday night. 4-man teams go face-to-face for some friendly competition. For master student Nicholas Patrick, it's all about having the chance to unwind after a long day.
Our Tuesdays are from 8 till 5, and they're long and they're miserable. I had an exam at 8 o'clock this morning, site engineering, so Tuesdays is a great day to just forget about it, come out of the office and do something social.
Samantha Link says she likes to let out her frustration and de-stress.
We have it tough, so it's just nice to throw down some pins because you can't throw down anything else.
It may be recreational here at Terp Zone, but what do the bowlers think about the question, is it really a sport?
Is bowling a sport? I mean, ESPN considers it a sport.
Yes, most definitely.
Oh, yeah, definitely, wholeheartedly.
This is Michael G's second semester in the league, and he says bowling is a physical and mental sport.
When you get late into the game and you need a mark, a strike, or a spare, there's a lot of pressure on you, and you know, obviously that can get to you sometimes.
Or maybe it's even more than that. Link thinks there's a sort of science to it.
There's a lot of strategy involved. It's where you put your feet, how fast you throw the ball, the angle in which you throw the ball.
Patrick has a different view on the subject.
I strained my arm last week bowling, which just shows you can get injured bowling. So, yeah, absolutely. I think it's, I'd say it's a sport.
There's one bowler who thinks otherwise. Danielle Quick bowled competitively when she was 12, even making it to the state finals. But she has to disagree with the rest for one simple reason.
I still think of it more as a game than like a, I think sports involve sweat.
Sport or not, there's no question that these bowlers are having a good time. At Terp Zone, I'm Devin Miller, Terp Weekly Edition. The league playoffs will be held during the last 2 weeks of the semester. Still to come on Terp Weekly Edition, the Washington Capitals hope for a chance at the Stanley Cup, and Terp Weekly Edition's Kenny Gartner tells us about the danger and risk of concussions for athletes. You're listening to Terp Weekly Edition on 88.1 FM WMUC. There hasn't been a championship team in Washington since DC United's 2004 MLS Cup, but one team has been on the verge of bringing one to the district and may finally get one this season.
For the past few years, only one Washington team has consistently competed for a championship, generating buzz and excitement around the city for their annual playoff runs. That team is the Washington Capitals, led by star Alex Ovechkin, part of the NHL's elite teams, but still without a Stanley Cup Finals trip since 1998. And this year is what many consider a make-or-break season, with two playoff disappointments in the last two seasons, and the possibility of a third looming over the franchise again.
Last year they were expected, obviously, to win the Stanley Cup. This year, even though Ted Leonsis says that this is not a make-or-break season, considering the number of free agents they have, I would say it kind of is. They need to go somewhere. They need to make the finals. They need to show heart. They cannot lose a 3-1 series lead. If they lose, they need to do so honorably.
But as the team plays out their final regular season games, the players, the fans, everyone is excited for another chance at a deep playoff run. Dave Nichols, who runs the Caps blog Caps News Network, thinks this team, while flawed, still has the talent to go far.
They kind of changed the way they play and obviously, you know, are near the top of the league in goals against now as opposed to goals for. So there are a lot of hockey traditionalists that would say that they are better geared to be a playoff team this year, playing the defense, the tight checking, and having the strong goaltending.
But as Maryland student and Caps Radio Network intern Josh Fendrick says, they'll need to fix that power play, which has gone powerless this year after leading the league in 2010.
Well, I don't think that we've seen any consistency from the power play yet this year. Things have started to turn around as of late. I would say that the power play is the one thing that I would like to see them be a little more consistent on towards the end of the season here.
Nichols agrees with Fendrick.
If they don't get that thing straightened out, you know, especially in the playoffs with every power play you get being so precious, you know, they're going to continue to struggle to score goals. And unless, you know, one or all of the young goaltenders are completely on top of their game during the playoffs, they could find another early exit.
And those power play issues, goaltending questions, all of that goes out the window once the puck is dropped. Then, fans just want to see the team finally win after years and years of heartbreak.
Well, having been a fan for so long and having never seen them get all the way and win the Stanley Cup, you never know. I'm always hopeful, but I wouldn't be surprised if they don't, but I'd be very ecstatic if they did.
But ultimately, is this year the year?
Why not? They're doing great.
So I'll say they make the conference finals, but at that point, it's kind of a toss-up.
Hoping for a cup at Verizon Center this spring, I'm Tyler Radeke, Terp Weekly Edition.
The Caps begin their postseason after April 6th and currently hold the second seed in the Eastern Conference. Concussions. They can be scary for athletes, and they come with serious consequences. Kenny Gartner spoke to two former athletes who suffered several concussions and tells us how they're coping with careers cut short.
For John Gonod, a student at Pittsburgh University, concussions are a serious problem, so much that he started a website and movement called Project Brainwave.
Whoever wants to listen or whoever needs to be listening to this information on concussions and being aware of such things, they can come to Project Brainwave. Like, I have a website, I have a Facebook page that puts out links.
He suffered numerous concussions in high school, was told he had to stop playing football, and was proactive about it. Since starting the movement, he's interviewed numerous people about concussions and even held a press conference at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. He also raised money through a flag football tournament and put that money to a good cause.
I raised about close to $450, and I took that money and put it towards my high school's football program to get new DNA helmets. Because, I mean, just when I used to play for that team, you could see some of the helmets that were left that were given to the younger players, and they were just very poor helmets and really shouldn't have been worn. They definitely needed an upgrade in that department of the game.
Junior Scott Kornberg, a journalism major here at the University of Maryland, also suffered concussions. He talked to me about the symptoms.
Well, I know from playing football, I suffered multiple concussions.
How many?
And, to be honest, I don't know. I know definitely one, and then I just know after every single practice my whole freshman year, I'd come back and my head would be ringing, and that's obviously not a good sign if it didn't heal from the first time.
He said it was the practices, not the games, that were tougher for him.
It is painful, but you just learn to play through it. And with concussions, I would go into games with my head hurting, and practices were the worst, because I felt like I hit harder. You hit more in practice, I think, than in the game.
He still has problems with headaches to this day, even though the last time he suited up to play a game was 5 years ago.
And now I get headaches there occasionally. I don't really know what causes them. It's not frequent, but it's still on occasion. It's not rare either.
Scott's problem is not unique. The NFL, as it goes through its lockout process, is searching for solutions. And the MLB recently instituted a new process for players that get concussions. John says what the MLB is doing is a step in the right direction.
With the MLB, I like what I'm seeing there. I definitely respect all the efforts that have been going on in that area. And I know concussions aren't the most prevalent thing in that sport statistically, but they are part of the game.
But the NFL has been struggling to figure out a solution. John has one that he thinks will cut down on hits to the head.
This is just from my opinion. You'll hear different opinions of others. I think the coaches should at least have a chance to challenge a helmet-to-helmet collision that may cost the team 15 yards.
Looking for creative ways to solve a complicated problem with head injuries. Kenny Gardner, Terp Weekly Edition.
You can visit Project Brainwave at www.project-brainwave.org. With a long history of breaking little hearts like you wanted me. That's okay, let's see how you do it. Put up your dukes, let's get down to it. Hit me with your best shot. Why don't you hit me with your best shot? Our producer is Jason Murphy. Our editor is Kenny Gartner. Technical production by Kristen Foca. Assistant producers Devin Miller, Tyler Radicke, and Brian Hoffman. Executive producer is Max Kakis. Listen to us online anytime at www.twe.umd.edu. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I'm Emily Jacobs. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to Terp Weekly Edition, a presentation of the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland in cooperation with 88.1 WMUC-FM in College Park.